In this interview, it's all about transformation with Sue Bryce. This is TWIP. Hey, folks. Welcome back to This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today, I'm sitting down with a superstar in the photography world. Her name is Sue Bryce. I've got Sue for a couple minutes, so we're gonna talk about some really pointed topics. We're gonna talk about transformation. We're gonna talk about education and a couple of other things. But I wanna get to the bottom of this whole, you know, education thing that Sue Bryce has been pushing forward all this time and how successful it's going for her. Sue Bryce, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. And the sun is shining in LA and it's a beautiful world.
Oh, is that where you are right now? I know you and I haven't spoken in a while. It's been, like we were talking before we started recording, it's been, geez, what, 5 years? Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Wow. And a lot has happened in those 5 years, right? So let's talk about that. Let's dive right in. For the people who may, the one or two people on the planet who may not have heard about Sue Bryce and who Sue Bryce is, what's your cocktail party, this is what I do speech? You know, what's the elevator pitch?
On August the 15th, I've been a photographer for 30 years, 30. And 10 years ago, I started to teach my business model and my style of portraiture. And now I have a broadcasting company that broadcasts to thousands of photographers all around the world in a subscription-based closed circuit broadcast. We broadcast, there are over 700 videos on the library at the moment that we have built up over the last 4 years. And we also broadcast live directly to our photographers every month. And it's a pretty incredible community of portrait photographers around the world that are focused on building a business on contemporary portraiture.
That is fantastic. So when you say contemporary portraiture, I remember the last time we spoke, I took the interview in the direction of retouching, because that's kind of where your roots are and where you began retouching. I remember from that interview, this is how good my memory is here. I remember from that interview, you were saying back then you were only taking a couple minutes per image to retouch, you know, and moving forward. I want to transition to today, and you say contemporary portraiture on your website. Which one? I was looking, you have a couple of websites. One of them is SueBryce.tv. I was looking at that one, and you've got the word transformation on there.
So transformation has always been my word in business. You know, I teach in branding, like, what is the sort of overarching energy that you love to work with? Like, is your photography empowering? Is it sentimental? Is it life-changing? Or any business for that matter. And for me, it's transformation. I started in that sort of 80s glamour, the before and after, and you would transform with makeup, or you would transform with confidence, or you would transform, you know, in front of the camera, and because I would be helping you to do that. So transformation was my word. Mm-hmm. And then as I started to teach businesses, it was just really, and I had to build my own business. I had no confidence to sell my own work, price myself, go to a networking event, or even be the face of my business online, or just the face of my business in my community, and stand up and sort of own my path as a, not only a photographer, but as a business owner in my community, and be somebody that stands up in a sort of business realm. And I just realized I didn't actually have any experience or any confidence or any personal self-confidence. So for me, in order to make money, I had to first overcome my own fear of money and guilt of charging and guilt and shame around receiving money, because I was just felt so bad about getting paid. Although I never felt bad when I had a job, I just felt bad when people would pay me for my craft. I could sell other people's work. It just, there was seemed to be this connection to my work and myself receiving money. And I was really in a place, I did not change this. I was never going to be able to sustain a business or sell my work. So I really focused on years of just sort of transforming my confidence, my physical confidence, like how I look and feel walking into a room, shaking hands, eye contact, speaking about my business with confidence, pricing myself at full value and knowing what I'm worth, and then learning how to sell that and without being salesy or sleazy. So I did the transformation, and then I started to teach that business model, and I found people were stuck in the same places, mm-hmm. lack of confidence, can't price themselves, can't receive money. And so here I was, well, you have to transform this before you can be successful in business. And so I created a workshop that transforms the personal side, the part that is terrified, the part that won't go to a networking meeting because of social anxiety, or the part that makes up a whole lot of avoidance to not do those hard things or set those hard boundaries, have those hard conversations. That is the basis of business. The craft, the learning the photography and the mastering the lighting and the mastering the retouching, that's craft. That's physical craft. You do that because you love it. But to be sustainable, you have to share this craft, market your business, sell your work. And if you fear that, you're going to stay at home reinventing your brand, you know, reinventing the wheel, instead of actually going out there and taking action and getting paid and, you know, creating a sustainable business. Wow, that was a long answer. Sorry about that. But that
no, that's perfect.
That is all of it right there. Like, you just can't move forward if there is something holding you back. And trust me, it is not the universe holding you back. It's you.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you hit a lot of topics there. And one of the main ones is that blockage, I think, that people hit. And that's what you teach in some of your educational materials. And that's, you know, there's the whole field of dreams thinking, right? Where if I just become a great photographer, if I hone my skills, then clients will beat a path to my door, right?
Yes, because the field of dreams is build it and they will come, right? Everybody writes that, but that's not the right quote. It's build it and he will come. It was not the masses, it was a ghost. He's talking about the ghost, and if he builds it, he will come. And for some reason, everybody said, build it and they will come. And then somehow this has been used in business talks and inspirational talks, and it's build it and he will come. So it's like they don't come. This is the whole point. You build it and they don't come, and then you fail because you never told anybody what you offer. You never showed anybody what you offer. You never valued a price, settled on a price, or worked through the ability to receive that value. You simply put a pretty brand up and said, it's not working. Nobody wants this in my town, because you didn't actually overcome the problem, which was you're not selling your work. You're not out there selling your work. Now, there is ways to sell your work without being sleazy and salesy, but we have this fear of asking for money because we have a fear of receiving it. And, you know,
Why do we have that? Why do we have that fear? I mean, we like nice things. We like to eat. We all have money. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but why don't we like to get the lubrication to get those things?
Because we don't want to ask for money.
Yeah.
Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's shame. But to ask, saying, this is the service I offer. This is the photography. This is the cost. This is the product. This is the price. And then allowing people to make a decision as to whether or not they want it. We're so hyper-focused on them saying yes or no. If they say yes, I'm validated. If they say no, I'm destroyed. And the truth is you don't buy every dress you try on. You don't buy every car you test drive. So when you leave, is the person who took you on a test drive crying in a little fetal position, sucking their thumb because you rejected them? No, they just didn't sell a car today. But we just get so caught up in our own selves and our own self-value, and it's infused in it. And then we really struggle to identify why we can't make money, and we never really offered, sold, or asked for anything.
Yeah, it's the ask, and we learned that. Yeah. In high school, you know, guys.
You gotta ask, and you got to be okay with no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, again, back to high school, you have to, you know, you could either be at the high school prom dance and sit on the sidelines, or you could go ask and get three no's and one yes, right? Yeah. So, but how do you jump over that? I mean, there's a couple of things. So there's the, you know, if you're in business, photographers in general, I've learned, will, you know, they will lock themselves into this sort of eddy of, okay, I need to upgrade my gear so I can shoot like Sue Bryce. And okay, the next camera came out, so, you know, I have to wait till I get that before I go into business. And then, you know, there's also the information overload side of it, where it's Facebook ads and Instagram ads and all these different services I have to be up on, twitch.tv, all these things I have to be aware of as a photographer in today's age. How do you stay on top of all that as a, you know, as a creative person that has an inkling to go into business?
Well, I always say to people, you have to ask, does it make my ship go faster? So before you purchase anything, is this thing going to make my ship go faster? So imagine you've got a big ship. You can renovate that ship as often as you want to make it look prettier. But if it doesn't make it go faster or, you know, stay afloat, then it's going to sink with pretty things in it. Mm-hmm. So does this make my ship go faster? When I built my business, with a Canon 10D and a 24-105 kit lens. And we turned over nearly half a million, and then again nearly half a million, and then closer to a million. So just over $2 million in the first 3 years of business with one camera. And then I got a second camera. I got 20D, and then I got two 20Ds with two kit lenses. I didn't need more than that. We think we need so much more. What I needed was to value my craft and sell my craft and value myself. And that took me about 4 more years to work out. But I knew I didn't need more equipment. Mm-hmm. I needed more heart and soul in my business and more value. So as I started to really build the value around what I believed I was creating for people and selling that for, that's when the money starts to really flow. Also, a really good one is, what is your love language? Is it time spent? Because if it's time spent, then you know that the time that you spend in consultation, in the shoot and in the viewing process or the sales process, is going to be really important to you. If it's gifting, find ways to gift into your packages that you sell. And if it's acts of service, then obviously do special things for your clients. Obviously, the touch love language is probably not going to help you in your business, but what it helps you do is stay connected to the part that you love the most and how you give, and you give service and you give attention to your clients. It super helps that you understand what you enjoy doing the most, so you can push into it. But yeah, does it make my ship go faster? I don't need more things. I need more value. Value comes from in here, mm-hmm. not anything that you've purchased for your studio.
Yeah. And but then the other piece of it is, we're all inundated. You know, if you put on your business hat, I'm a photographer and I want to make a living, you know, with photography, then you're inundated with, okay, you got to have an email list. You got to be on Facebook ads. You got to be on Instagram ads. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do webinar, you know, all these different things. And I think a lot of people that I speak to are just overwhelmed. I mean, they're overwhelmed with using Skype, let alone doing all that stuff. So how do you advise them in your courses? How do you advise those people that are like, you know, I feel like I'm ready to put a price tag on my stuff, but the world is moving so fast and I don't know how to get on that train.
We consume content so fast nowadays, but the problem is we don't necessarily let it impact what we're doing or slow it down enough. And we definitely have to slow down as we're building up so that we can master our craft and start charging sort of in increments to build up the increments too, because that's very, very important. And everybody comes in at a different level and a different mindset. So you can't compare apples and oranges.
Yeah.
So everybody comes in absolutely raw. And then I see, is their problem confidence, problem money? Is their problem craft? They need to work on their craft more. Is their problem, audience? And all I can say is this, the most powerful referral you can get is the referral from somebody you have already photographed. And I had this way of spending, when I was starting my business, I had this way of spending time with clients that I don't get to do now. And I know that if I had 6 hours or 5 hours to really take the time to spend that half an hour in consultation, shoot with them and just spend time with them and get to know them, sell to them, I used to have this sort of way of working that guaranteed that that person's going to send me at least 5 referrals. And back then, my sales average was $1,800, and 5 people was a lot of money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I literally knew that the more time I gave these people, the more referrals they gave me. It's just something I don't have anymore, because I now run an education business as well as shoot, and I'm down now to 3 personal shoots a month because I can't do more. But it's the part I miss the most, is spending the time with just the one girl. So no, I don't focus on Facebook advertising and lists first. I photograph on incredible craft, incredible service, and value pricing and value experience. And then I teach you that the more effort, time, love, and energy and attention you give to this client, they're going to send you 5 more. And I built my business on referrals long before Facebook ads were even a thing.
Yeah.
And it is the place to go, especially in a world of online. You want connection and experience and stories, and nothing does that like making the time to give to people and then getting the rewards for that.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I love talking to you, Sue. This is fantastic. So tell me about these educational initiatives that you're working on. And we touched on this a little bit before we started recording, and that is the old school way of, you know, learning photography and business in some ways was to pack up your bag, say goodbye, mom and dad or whomever, and go to school somewhere and learn from people who necessarily maybe not even be doing it, right? And then
I'm a hands-on learner.
Yeah. So tell me about your what you're doing now with the courses and the training and all that cool stuff.
I really feel like I'm a hands-on learner. So how ironic that I have a broadcasting education company. I have to touch something in order to really understand it. However, that's really important for lighting and even posing to some degree, posing and direction, but absolutely not necessary for marketing, accounting, design, scripting, and the billion things that you can learn. The one thing I've noticed, small bite-sized chunks helps. One subject, if you can record a 10 to 20 minute video and say, this is going to teach you basic frequency separation, period. Like, then you can recap that video. You can go back and look at it. You can, find it again. You can have a good search engine. But the smaller content, easy to consume, like nice and fast, broken up, easy to find. You know, what I've really been trying to do now is focus on really organizing and distributing the content, because now content can become really overwhelming because we have so much on there. And it's just really crazy. You've just got to really break down what it is that you need and then make the time to go and practice it. So many people will learn something online and go, it didn't work. And I was like, how many times did you do it? And they'll be like, oh, a couple. And I was like, well, try doing it for a couple of years and see if you can master it then.
Yeah.
But you can't just master craft in 5 minutes. You really have to give yourself mastery hours, and that is best done when in full enthusiasm. So if it doesn't excite you, it's probably not going to get done.
Yeah. And then that's it. It's repetition. Repetition, yep. And nothing replaces just sort of building up that muscle of doing things over and over again, right? So where can people go to sort of sign up for these courses that you're doing, or, you know, and I know it's your company, it's not all you. So where is it all located?
There's a few of us now. We're in El Segundo. Our studio is in El Segundo, and we often have live events every month. Our broadcasting is also open live, so you can come and watch the shoot. And also you can come to our conference, which is Portrait Masters. And Portrait Masters this year is on the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th of September. I got that right, didn't I? In Phoenix, it's a boutique conference and it's absolutely incredible. But what I wanted to do, because we don't get a lot of hands-on learning, being that our students are all around the world, is we actually created shooting bays where you can shoot at the conference. So you have about 4 or 5 hours in between large platform classes where you're seeing incredible photographers that are specifically portrait photographers. Our keynote speaker this year is Peter Lindbergh, nice. Which is absolutely incredible. And I can't wait to share the other eight with you. They're really, really, really extraordinary portrait photographers. And you can actually shoot there. You can come to my studio space. But if you want to find me, I'm at SueBryce.com, SueBryce TV, and SueBryceEducation.com.
I love it. I love it. And I'll link to all those, obviously, in the blog post and the description on the YouTube video. All right. I've got a last hot seat question for you, SueBryce. What does success look like for you? Like, where can you put a pin in it and say, you know, I've done it. I did it. I've made, you know, $1 billion or whatever. Is it a monetary thing? Is it a skill level thing? Is it a personal thing? Where can you say that I'm done? I've done what I want to get done on this planet.
I would love to make $1 billion, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to make $1 billion. Maybe I should try to make $1 billion. I'm not driven by any desire at all for fame. In fact, I've tried everything to go the other direction and do less public appearances because I'm a content writer. I'm not a star. So my wealth dynamics profile is content creation and mechanic. I'm a mechanic. I see problems. I see solutions. I see systems. And I create content in my sleep. I create content all day long. I would probably be a very deeply weird introvert sitting at home creating weird things if I wasn't a photographer, because I feel really like I just love exploring content space.
Yeah.
I don't have any desire to be famous. I don't have any desire. I simply want success for me is building. I want to keep building my content and giving my content for other people to use also. And also to create content that actually helps and shifts people in business. I would love to free people of debt and money pain, because I've been there and I know what it's like and you can change it. I would like to free people of social anxiety. I would like to help people gain confidence, not just as human beings, but as business owners. Photographers are incredible because it's such a social interesting, beautiful, impactful storytelling career, and you can take it any way you want. You want to shoot love, you shoot weddings and elopements, you want to shoot people, you can shoot any style of portraiture from little newborn babies to, you know, 100 years old. I mean, I know people that shoot every genre, that specialize in every genre. It's a rich, fulfilling community and amazing career once you learn how to be sustainable and make money. And portraiture was really on the down when I came to WPPI in 2010 from Australia. I was living in Australia at the time, although I'm a Kiwi, so I'm not Australian.
Yeah, no, we won't mix those up. Yeah.
Yeah. Then one of the things was portraiture was kind of really not around. Boudoir was kind of peaking a little bit. Newborn photography was getting smashed around a bit. So I feel like I really pushed into the portrait market and said, well, come on, I have a successful portrait studio. This is what I do. It's just more contemporary than it used to be. And we modernized it. We made it better and bigger and amazing. And now it's off and running, and I'd love to grow that some more. I just want to keep creating content.
I love it. You are in no way, shape, or form done.
I'm just starting.
You're just getting started. And I got to tell you, you know, from me to you, it is a breath of fresh air talking to you, Sue. I think the world is better for you being in it. And, you know, from the things that you just said about how, trying to help people get free of debt and explore their craft and sort of look at life in a different way, I think that's important these days, especially as people get so bogged down in gear and politics and all the negativity and all the stuff that's surrounding them. This breath of fresh air that is SueBryce that is saying, hey, you know, let's have fun. Let's do some cool stuff while making money and crafting your craft. So bravo.
I'm kind of doing a little bit of a Lady Gaga. So Lady Gaga came onto the world sort of pop stage as Lady Gaga, this entity. But that Lady Gaga thing was just a facade for somebody that could actually write music and sing music and perform music. And she's so good. I'm not saying I'm good, because I'm certainly not the best photographer in the world. I know I'm a very good standard average photographer, and I don't think I was ever going to be somebody that pushed in. Obviously, I found education and I have an incredibly successful business model and style that women like. But then what Gaga started to do was, I just watched a documentary. I thought it was quite interesting. She started to write all of the songs that were about Joanne and her auntie and just sort of songs that she said, I wouldn't have ever been noticed for this music. Because this was my soul calling. I had to become Lady Gaga in order to move into that. So I guess I showed everybody basically glamour portraiture, modernized, and said this is the contemporary version of what I used to do in the late 80s and early 90s. And I knew women loved it then. But the genre died, so I modernized it.
Yeah.
And now I think I'm pushing more into the, sure, I also did this. My family grew up poor. I grew up on a low socioeconomic small town. I had no high school education. There were some things I had to overcome to be in business. And frankly, earning money is a really big one. Having confidence is a really big one. Now I'm pushing more into the heart and soul of what it is that I do. I mean, the people that get it will follow along and the people that don't won't. It's absolutely fine. But just the ability to be able to share it and just sort of say, you know, this is about you. This is about your journey, your confidence, your strength, your growth, and you coming into yourself and being what you want to be. But more importantly, you can change anything. You can transform anything you want in business, in life, and just get it, get after it, because there's just so much out there that you can learn, and you can stay stuck and stay at home complaining about what you don't have, or you can actively learn about money and earning money and receiving money no differently than you learned about strobes or apertures or the relationship between ISO and shutter speed. It's just a skill. If you didn't learn it from your parents, which I did not, it's something you can learn, and then you can, you know, potentially free yourself and many, many others.
I love it. I love it. Sue Bryce, thank you so much for doing this. This is fantastic. We have to not let another half a decade go by before we speak again.
We'll see you next year.
Yeah, next year. You know, we should catch up.
We should come to Portrait Masters, Frederick. You need to come to Portrait Masters.
I think I will come to Portrait
Masters. It's one of the most extraordinary experiences you will ever, ever have. When was the last time you went somewhere with 600 students, 8 of the most incredible speakers around the world, and just focused on portraiture? And we have a podcasting room and an amazing vendors room with over 25 shooting bays so you can line up and shoot. And those 25 models, I style myself. I take over 200 gowns and dresses, and they range in age and demographic, and it's super cool.
I love it. All right, folks, you heard it. I have a personal invite to come to Portrait Masters from Sue Bryce. So I'm coming. I'm coming to Portrait Masters. So come hang out with us at Portrait Masters. There you go. Done. Cool. Sue Bryce, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. Like I said, I mean, everything I said, you are an inspiration. And I think I may even go watch that Lady Gaga documentary again.
Yeah, 5'2". I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. It was really cool. All right, Sue, I'll let you get on with your day. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. See you later.
This is Twit.